Today on Brave, a brand new message from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
He cares seriously about his church, and he cares seriously about the leadership in his church, and he's gifted some as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to do what? To equip the saints to do ministry, to help you fulfill your calling. The purpose of church leadership is so that the entire body of Christ would be on mission to reach people with the gospel. Why? Because the church is the one institution of the world that can bring people to salvation in Jesus Christ and grow them up.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Leadership is an important, often difficult task, and that's no less true when it comes to leadership within a church. So, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff highlights the four types of leaders needed at any church and how we, as the church body, can respond to these leaders in a way that honors God. It's the next practical lesson from our ongoing study in 1 Timothy. And if you missed out on any part of our series, The Kingdom Embassy, be sure to catch up by visiting bravemedia.online. But right now, let's join Pastor Jeff for the start of today's message, simply titled, How to Treat Church Leaders.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for all you're doing in your church, not only here, but around the world, and how through the church, you're advancing the kingdom with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would have your way with us this morning. Lord, that you'd be helpful to me as I preach, you'd be helpful to us as we listen. And Lord, collectively, we together as your church would do what you've called us to do. And so for everybody who is gathered, who desires to hear the word of the Lord proclaimed, who will believe what the Lord says and will by faith put into practice what he shows you, will you very loudly agree with me this morning by saying the word amen, amen. A number of years ago, I heard John Maxwell say that everything rises and falls on leadership. And the longer I've been a part of all sorts of different organizations, I tend to believe him. I think that when you have good leadership has the ability to empower the people in that organization to go and do great things. So when the organization is good, or the family is good, or the sports team is good, it's because there's good leadership that's empowering the people in that organization who take ownership of the vision and the mission and go out and accomplish it. And like my high school football coach used to say, no coach has ever won a game. It's always about the team, and good leadership is always about the team. But also seen in organizations and others that I've been a part of, and in this one, when there's challenges in the organization, it's the leader's fault. That the leader is the lid for what's going wrong, and the leader needs to get introspective and figure out, hey, what am I not doing right, or what things need to change? And I can tell you, in leading this organization over the last 11 years, there's been some painful seasons in my life where I've had to change and grow, and I'm not done growing. I know there's still going to be other painful seasons where the Lord will continue to shape me and who I am so that Christ can get his work done. And while every organization rises and falls on its leadership, the Church of Jesus Christ especially needs good leadership. Amen? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is the one institution that Jesus Christ blessed. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. He said that over 2,000 years ago, and guess what? His church is still growing strong, and hell can't stop what Jesus Christ is doing. And as we've been taking a look in this series in 1 Timothy, talking about God's kingdom agenda for the church and what the church should be and how the church is kingdom soil on this earth, so what happens in this place among us is what we're tasting from heaven so that we can go advance the kingdom of God from his church and how much he cares about the church. Today, what we're going to take a look at is how much he cares about his leadership in the church. Last week, we started taking a look at how to care for our family. We took a look at older men and younger men. We took a look at older women and younger women and how we're to treat them. We took a look at widows and how we're to treat them. Today, we're going to take a look at leadership and how we as a church are to treat leadership. Now, when we taught through this book in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we learned the qualifications of an elder, the integrity that needs to be with an elder. In chapter 5 here, we're going to learn how it is that we as a church need to respond or treat the leadership in the church. I want to be totally candid with you. I've preached a lot of messages, and I preached a lot of them here. This is one of the hardest messages I've ever had to preach, because in some ways what I'm teaching you is, here's how y'all need to treat me. And here's how you need to treat the leaders in our church. And here's how you need to treat our staff. And I want to let you know from the outset, I don't have an axe to grind with any of you. I just don't. I've learned to not use the pulpit as a place to air my dirty laundry. If I had a problem with you, I'd come talk to you individually. Secondly, I would say this. I think our church does what I'm going to teach you very, very well. But I think it's important for us to understand that how we treat our leadership is very important to God. And the church God blesses is in direct response to how God's people respond to the leadership that he places in a church. And even if you say, hey, we got it all, I promise you, you're going to meet some people in the body of Christ that need to hear this message. And we want to be a church that honors the Lord in every single part of his word when it comes to teaching his word. So today I'm going to pretend that I'm at a different church, that I'm a guest lecturer, and I'm teaching you what the word of God says about this specific requirement of how we're to treat leadership in the local church. And we'll be taking a look at four different kinds of leaders and how we're called to respond to each. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open up to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'd like to start reading in verse 17 and read through the end of the chapter. And then we'll take a look at those four leaders and how we as a church are called to respond to them. Hear the word of the Lord. He says, "The elders who rule well are considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing,' and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment, for others their sins follow after. Likewise, also, deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed." And here we're going to take a look at four different kinds of leaders in the local church and how we as a church are to respond to each kind of leader. And we're talking specifically this morning about leadership in the church. Now, why is this so important? Because Jesus Christ loves his church. He established his church. He died for his church. And guess who he's coming back for? He's coming back for his church. He loves his church. And he is the one who has established leaders in his church. So in his church, he has called men and gifted them in certain ways so that they will serve his church. And he takes that very seriously. Just to give you a couple verses, let me tell you about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He says, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ." Who is the one who places authority and leadership in the church? Okay, it's not rhetorical. I'm going to give you two answers. One is Jesus and the other is whatever you pick. Okay, you get to shout it out. Who establishes leadership in his church? Okay, I only heard about half of you. So I want to get this right, because you need to understand this. Who establishes leadership in his church?
Jesus.
I mean, if you see a pastor in a church, Jesus is the one that has him there. Well, I wouldn't have picked him. Jesus did. Amen. He cares seriously about his church, and he cares seriously about the leadership in his church, and he's gifted some as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to do what? To equip the saints to do ministry. To help saints do ministry. To help you fulfill your calling. The purpose of church leadership is so that the entire body of Christ would be on mission to reach people with the gospel. Why? Because the church is the one institution of the world that can bring people to salvation in Jesus Christ and grow them up. Is there any institution more important than the church? There's none. No matter what you think, there's none. The church is the most important institution in the world. Therefore, the leadership in the church is essential and super important to God Almighty, because he's the one that put them there. Make sense? All right, so he's saying this. And so what do we see about these first kind of leaders? Here's what I would say. In the church, I would say this. Excellent leaders should be respected and remunerated. Excellent leaders should be respected, that means honored, and remunerated, that means paid. Notice what he says. Here's what he says. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, from Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. That's New Testament. That's what Jesus said, Matthew 10:10 and Luke 10:7. He's using the Old and the New Testament to say, honor and pay your leaders in the church. That's what he's saying. Now, who should we pay? Like, who should we honor? He says, the elders who do what? Who rule well. Elders is plural. There's always going to be a plurality of leadership in a church. There's always going to be a plurality. But notice this, the ones who do it well. What does rule mean? Rule means to guide. Rule means to shepherd God's people. Rule means to be an example for them. Rule means to lead them. Rule means to take them in the direction God wants them to go. And the word here that you want to pay attention to is well. The one who does it well. The one who does it in an excellent manner. In other words, in every organization and on every team, there are people doing the same thing, but certain people rise above. Certain people do it a little bit better. And he said, especially those who do what? Preach and teach. So guiding and leading is important, but especially those who do well at preaching and teaching. What should you be doing with them? How should you treat leadership in the church? With honor, with respect, and when worthy, you pay them. Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you. I'm actually paid to do what I do here. Okay? Now, why is it so important that we pay somebody? Because if the church is the foundation of Jesus Christ, and there's no more important organization than the one who is directing that organization through preaching and teaching, which is the primary ministry in a local church, should be taken care of, honored, and taken care of in such a way that he and his family can focus exclusively on preaching and teaching. Amen. Now, I don't know what you did this week. I did a lot of different things. I was in meeting about buildings, and I went to talk to staff people and did different things. But I can tell you what I was doing for the majority of my week. I was in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, laboring in the word, trying to discern from the Lord as I prayed to him, what does our church need to hear? And why does our church need to hear this? And why is this in the text? And why do people need to understand what you're trying to say? That's where I labored. That's why I was up till 1 a.m. last night, putting finishing touches on what I'm doing. That's why I was here at 5 this morning, because I want to make sure that God's people hear God. Let me ask you something. What's more important in your life than hearing the Lord and being able to respond to him?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
There's nothing more. I mean, any other job that I would take would be a downgrade from what I have the privilege of being called to do as a servant of the Lord. I believe in the kingdom, it is the most important service. That's why he says, take care of people and pay them well and do this well, especially those who preach and teach. Now, what does that mean? Some are specifically called to do this task. This is not a job where you would, you know, fill out a job application and take, you know, an inventory and say, you know, I was thinking about being a teacher, I was thinking about being a pastor, I was thinking about being a coach. Which one is it? There's a compelling that goes off inside somebody while you're trying to figure that out. And if you're called to preach and teach, you will not be able to escape it. You can try to run from it. You can say, I don't want this, but eventually it's going to come back. And you have to do this. The compelling that I have, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, is not something that I say mildly. It's, what else could I do with my life? I'm going to answer to the Lord for the calling that he put on it to preach and teach. And it's important that you understand that calling. Now, a number of years ago, I remember telling my wife, shortly after we were married, I know how God works in my life, that he was doing something different. And I didn't know what it was going to be, but that what we were currently doing was going to change. And I didn't even know what that meant, but I told her, just be praying with me because something's going to change. Something's going to happen. And I was getting bored doing what I was doing, but I still wanted to serve the Lord. And sure enough, I had a friend that was on the board with Athletes in Action. It's an international ministry. And he said to me, we're looking for an international president. You need to apply. And I said, well, what would I do? He said, here's what you do. There's about 6,000 people on staff that you would train every single year to go all over the world that are athletes and they love sports and they take the gospel out so that you can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, you'd get to go to the Super Bowl every year. You would also get to disciple professional athletes and all these different kinds of things. And so I hung up the phone and I was like, we're going. So we set up the interview and I had an interview with these guys and it went super well with this one man. And at the end of it, I said, what do you think? He goes, I think we need to move on to step two. I said, I do too. I said, I really sense that this could be something that the Lord has for us. And we went on to step number two. And in the second interview process, there were two men on the phone and we were talking and the second conversation went just as well as the first until the last 2 minutes of the conversation. Because at the end, we were asking each other, how do you think it went? And both men were like, this could be it. We really like who you are. But the one guy that wasn't on the phone the first time, he said, I just have one question for you. He goes, are you a leader that has some preaching and teaching gifts to bolster your leadership gift? Or are you a preacher and teacher that has some leadership gifts to bolster your preaching? Because we're looking for a leader. If you never preach or teach again, we don't care. Just lead. And I remember thinking, shucks. But I gave the Christian answer and I was like, well, I'll pray about it. And what happened was within 24 hours, I called him back and said, no, I'm called to preach. I know I have to preach. And so thanks for that. Now you clap, but at the time I didn't know what that meant. But it wasn't but a couple months later when I was vetting what was going to go on and I had a phone call learning about how we could plant a church. And the man on the other end said to me, hey, can you preach? I said, yes. He said, can you cast vision? I said, yes. He said, can you call up men? I said, yes. I said, what else? He goes, that's it. We'll staff around you. I said, I'm in. And I told my wife that day, we're moving to Denver and planting a church. Because there has to be a compelling and a calling to preach and teach. It's essential in the church of God. Now, why is that important? And I'm not speaking for this church. Just so you know, this church has always taken care of me and my family financially. And this church has always been honoring to me. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Jeff, how much money do you make? To which my response would be, how much money do you make? And how much money do you give? I mean, the deal is, all throughout our history as a church, the elders have always put into practice what my salary is going to be. About 4 years ago, as we grew, our elders decided to come together and work with a national organization that had tens of thousands of people that they had researched and several organizations and churches and parachurch ministries and organizations of our size and what their background was and what their, you know, ministry looked like and how much education they had. And they put all this stuff in a grid. And then they said, based upon those, here's how you're paying your pastor. And if you want to pay him like this, then this is what you'd pay your pastor. And they made all the decisions about what my income would be. And I just want you to know, they've always taken good care of me. And I think that that's important. And let me tell you why I think that's important. Because there's too many pastors out there that are trying to labor in the word and bring the word of God to God's people. And that church doesn't honor their pastor. And that church doesn't pay for their pastor. And I'm telling you from this pulpit, that's downright sinful and it's wrong. It's wrong. I got golf claps all last message too. I'm totally cool with that. Because I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching for everybody out there that's trying to labor in the word that ends up leaving the ministry because the church doesn't support their calling to bring God's word to them. And just so you know, it's rare in our culture if you can be in a church with somebody that's actually going to preach this book. It's a rare thing. If you have it, you should be thankful for it. And if you're thankful for it, you should honor the people that are bringing that. You should honor your pastor. You should honor your leadership. You should honor the staff. You should honor those who are volunteers. You should honor everybody. And you should pay well those in leadership, especially those whose main ministry is preaching and teaching according to the word of God. He says, look at this. He goes, even we don't muzzle the ox while it's threshing. I mean, even an ox is able to eat while it's working. I mean, you're more important than an ox if you're leading in God's church. And the labor is worthy of his wages. It means in churches, take care of your pastors and their staff and their families and honor them. You know, in the book of Ezra, we read in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Well, what did he do? How do you sum that up? He studied the word, he practiced the word, and he taught and preached the word. What's my responsibility as your pastor? Study the word, put into practice what God's showing me in the word, and then herald the word. That's my job. And I want to tell you this, God blesses churches that bless their leadership. I have never seen a church flourish that talks bad about their leadership, ever. I have never seen a church flourish that complains about their leadership, ever. I've never seen it. But I have seen churches flourish when people in the church honor the leadership in that church. I remember one time I was at the Billy Graham Library in North Carolina, and if you've ever been down there, they walk you through the gospel as you're going through Billy Graham's life, and it's pretty moving. I mean, it was pretty awesome. And I came out through the end of that, and there was somebody there to pray with me, asking me this, would you like to give your life to Jesus Christ? And I said, I already have. And they said, well, that's great. Well, can I pray for you? I said, I'd love that. This lady laid hands on me and prayed over me as if Jesus was standing right there. Powerful prayer. We got done. I said, hey, where are you from? She said, Brooklyn. I said, Brooklyn. I said, where'd you go to church? She goes, I go to Brooklyn Tabernacle. I said, well, of course you do, because everybody there prays like you. And I said, I've always been fond of Pastor Jim Cimbala from a distance. She goes, oh, I know him. He's an awesome pastor. We love Pastor Jim. We love who he is. We love that. Every time I go to Brooklyn Tabernacle, I don't care if I'm meeting an usher, a children's worker, whoever, they speak well about their pastor. And when I see them speak well about their pastor, one thing I notice when I visit is the Holy Spirit is all over that place. Why is this so important? Because God won't bless a church when God's people are complaining and grumbling about the leadership in the church. It doesn't work. Well, if they just get that pastor out of there. No, if they got your grumbling and complaining to stop, it would help first. That's what he's saying. He says, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Let me give you a couple other verses that you can look at this week. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, as far as appreciation or honor. He says this, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instructions, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. What's it saying? Appreciate your leadership. Be grateful for your leadership. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14? Paul was saying you didn't have to take advantage of this, but he was saying what a worker is worthy of. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, he says, do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? Verse 14, so also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. How should preachers get paid? They should get paid for preaching the gospel. That's how they should get paid. Do you know why that's important? Pastor Jeff, have you never heard of bivocational pastors? Yes, I have. And if our congregation were 15 people and the average salary was, you know, $15,000 to $30,000, I get that. I'd be bivocational too. That's not the case that we have here. Sometimes even when people are generous, it requires a bivocational work. But you wouldn't want me to do bivocational work. You wouldn't want me to be casual on a Saturday night, kind of stringing something together, and then during the week, giving all my labor and intensity to a different job.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the start of a new message called How to Treat Church Leaders. We'll dive into part two of our lesson when we return Monday, so join us then. And if you've missed any part of this practical series in the book of 1 Timothy called The Kingdom Embassy, we've made it easy to find and listen to earlier programs at bravemedia.online. If you'd like to take these messages with you on the go, running errands, heading to work, download the Brave Church app. You'll have mobile access to all of Pastor Jeff's messages and sermon notes whenever you'd like, and you'll stay in the loop on upcoming ministry events and special opportunities at Brave Church. Just log into your favorite app store, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the app to your smart device today. Then, before we close, we invite you to join us for Sunday worship this weekend at Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Visit in person at either of our two campuses in Englewood or Westminster. If you're listening from out of town or out of state, we're still holding the door open with our online live stream. To find details and directions, go to bravemedia.online. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll find a link to Brave Church with all the details. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments for Pastor Jeff, or you'd like to share how this program has played a part in your own spiritual journey, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us anytime, hello@bravechurch.co. If you'd rather send a written letter in the mail, you can do that. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. I'm Bill Carl, wishing you and your family a wonderful weekend. Make sure to come back Monday for the next part of our message, How to Treat Church Leaders. That's coming up next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.